Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We just ask that you would join us today and celebrate with us as we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us now for devotion. We'll have a song by June Rochelle Worship, and we will then have a scripture by Dr. James Nooks and a prayer. Thank you.
Now it's time to worship. Worship His name. Give Him all the glory.
Amen. Our scripture lesson
taken from John 14th chapter, starting at the 15th verse, and we're going to read to the 26th. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we come before you today. We're so excited to be in your presence. We ask that you lead, God, and direct us in the Bible study tonight. Give us understanding, give us the ability to share what we've learned and to grow, to challenge one another. We're asking that we have clarity tonight about the paraclete, about the comforter, that we would get an understanding, oh God, and that we would be able to help others have an understanding as well. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are showing up to participate, and we're just trusting that you will get all the glory. We ask these blessings in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight we are, Dr. Nux and Brother Eric, we're so excited about the Holy Spirit. And this month, this is the third week in the month that we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked the first week about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and how it was present. We'll review a little bit of that today, kind of a comparison between the two. We talked last week about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And then tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as comforter. Then next week we'll talk about the Holy Spirit as teacher. And we'll close with how the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would bring to remembrance and point us to God. So we want to be mindful and of the upcoming teachings. But tonight we want to focus on the Holy Spirit as comforter. So I want to start off by asking everybody, how have you experienced the Holy Spirit?
This is James. I experienced the Holy Spirit as a presence. And understanding of God's presence in me, and it influences me and helps me, and I feel God in me, and I can understand the text when it says that people that don't know Christ don't really have that same experience, and it helps me. To have God close to you or in you is different than feeling that God is distant or in some high place So this is a gift that God has given all believers, is that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and also as a comforter, and that's what we're talking about tonight, because we get in all kinds of situations, then we are hurt, we have pain, we wonder why, we don't understand, and it's just good to know that you can experience God in you, and that's a comfort to you to know that the God of the universe, with all power, is dwelling inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is definitely important to me, critical to my life as a believer.
Amen. Brother Eric.
Yeah, Dr. Susie. There are so many ways. I guess the most prevalent is looking back over certain situations in my life and trials, in knowing that it wasn't anything but the Holy Spirit that allowed me to go through that, to keep me from losing my mind and my sanity, and just assuring me that all would be well, even when I couldn't, for the life of me and my feeble attempt to think how it would be, that everything turned out fine. And I have to say that when you know that you're in God's will, then you can believe in God's promises. And I don't know that a lot of us realize that. And I don't know if it's because we don't think we're in God's will, or we don't know that we're in God's will, or we don't believe God for his promises in our lives. But I'm here to tell the listening audience, when you know that you're in God's will, you can trust God at his word. And so I just know that since December 25th, 1981, I've had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I'm gonna tell people there have been times I haven't acted like it. I ain't gonna lie about that. But I do know that it's there, and as Dr. Nook said, and when you come to your remembrance and realize that that is the case, then you begin to act differently. You begin to do things in a different manner.
Amen. So, Brother Brett, how has the Holy Spirit manifested in your life?
Well, as I continue to try and walk in the right manner and do what I feel that God wants me to do, he has helped me in so many ways. And I'm talking about, there have been times when, even on the highway, I should have died, but I didn't. Didn't even have an accident. But he protects me. He's with me. I'm thankful that when I feel that I need to act on something, I do it, whether it be health-wise or whether it be just to call a friend, or if God tells me that this person could use some money or something, or my services or whatever, and I'm there and I do it, and later the people tell me, you know, we were just wondering how to do this, and somebody upstairs must be watching out for us because, hey, here you are. And he's always been that way with me.
Amen. Well, I want to do just a quick review of what we, for just about 15 minutes or so, what we kind of been talking about. Eric, can you read John 15, 18 through 27? And Britt, can you get John 3, 1 through 8, if you have your Bible with you? Do you have one?
Yeah.
And Dr. Nooks, if you would get 1 Corinthians 2:11-12, and I'll get 1 Peter 1:1-2. And as we look at these texts, I want us to start to point out what we see and understand that the Holy Spirit is doing. And it's somewhat of a refresher, and then we're going to talk about only the Holy Spirit as comforter, as paraclete. So, Eric, can you start with John 15:18-27? You have to come off mute if you're on mute.
Yeah, I apologize for that. This is a New Living Translation. When the world hates you, remember it hated me before it hated you. The world would love you if you belonged to it, but you don't. I chose you to come out of the world, and so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A servant is no greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. The people of the world will hate you because you belong to me, for they don't know God who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sins. Anyone who hates me hates my Father too. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them, then no one else could do, they would not be counted guilty. But as it is, they saw all that I did and yet hated both of us, me and my Father. This has fulfilled what the scripture said. They hate me without cause. But I will send you a counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will tell you all about me. And you must also tell others about me because you have been with me from the beginning.
Amen. So you just read something to start where it says, and I will send a counselor. That's also interpreted as helper. What is that text saying about the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit?
Well, it's saying that it will come and it will be a spirit of truth. It would reveal the truth to you about the Father so that you can tell others, that it will reveal the truth about the Father and it will tell you about me.
Amen.
That you can then tell others. So the counselor in this, the comforter in this particular instance is the spirit of truth about Christ.
Amen.
That there'll be
Amen.
No doubt about who Christ is and why Christ came.
So in a sense, it applies to redemption. Go ahead, Dr. Nix.
I was just going to say that this text really helps us to understand that everybody's not going to like us.
All right.
The world is even going to hate you if you believe in Christ. So it should not come as a shock to us when people try to hurt us and lie on us and put us down, because the spirit of the air, the Satan, is in many people, and Satan wants to destroy us. And Jesus said they hated him, they hated God. Naturally, they're going to hate us. If we stand up for Christ, but we have a comforter, even when they hate us and mistreat us and talk about us and lie on us, it's good to know that God in us is comforting us through all that mess that we have to go through. And that's something to shout about and rejoice about. But we should not be surprised when the world hates us. I should not come and
say that. So, Dr. Nish, what does that word mean? You use the comforter, paraclete. What does that refer to?
It means an advocate. It means some spirit to walk with us, to plead our case, to be our lawyer, to go for us, and to help us, a helper, and all that and more.
Dr. Nooks, Dr. Susie, can I also add, because I just think it's relevant to come out. I mean, this is the for real statement. When it says that the world hated me, our listeners need to understand, he wasn't just talking about people outside the church. Because you got to remember the people who really
Amen.
Hated Jesus.
Amen.
They called themselves
Amen.
The church people. And they gave him, holy, you know what? And so we got to be mindful of that, because everybody, they may think that they're doing God's work by the way that they treat you and the things they do. But if they're treating you that way, they're not doing God's work.
And Brother Eric,
we need to be able to recognize
that. Plain hell.
Yeah,
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
Just plain hell. Yeah, you're right. It was plain hell, but they were death on him. I mean, wanting to stone him, ended up having crucified for no reason, nothing wrong.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But Brother Eric,
Amen.
Not you know, we just get focused on the end times when they mistreated him, but they mistreated him all along the journey. There were people who would, you know, when he went in the Gennesaret and helped the man, they wanted to get rid of him. When the demons went into the pigs, the people wanted to kick him out. I mean, as long as he was doing what they wanted him to do, feeding them, giving them what they desired, then, you know, isn't that like the people that we are around today? When we're doing what they want us to do, then everybody's copacetic, everybody's happy. But the moment you start trying to teach or to reveal or to give some way of empowerment through the word, then the enemy is really strong, and people allow the enemy to take over. And that's when Jesus, in this case, was treated poorly by those who were in the church and those who were.
Yeah, but the scripture we just read talks about the spirit of truth, and that's the one thing that the enemy does not want is the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
The enemy does not want to hear the truth about the matter, period. And so when Jesus started giving the truth and teaching the truth and preaching the truth about who he was, about who God was, about his mission, they didn't want that. As long as they got that physical stuff and, you know, they felt all good and they, you know, tingly inside and all that stuff. And like you said, being fed and watering the wine and, you know, and being healed and all that stuff,
miracle.
Everything was
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when he started talking about the truth of the matter, then it was a whole different story.
And Brother Eric,
Amen.
I can testify as a pastor that as long as, you know, when you first start and you're preaching the word, when you start dealing with issues and you're preaching the word, then you're preaching too much Bible. You know, and people don't want, you know, I'm just shocked at how many people don't want to Bible study, how many people don't want to come together to learn and to discern and to hear. It's not just that they think that, you know, this is beneath them or not enough. It has to do with truth seeking, and it's few people who are really about truth seeking these days.
Amen.
Amen. We want to be entertained. We don't want to do the hard work.
Amen.
Yeah, this is correct. You know, those are the people that straddle that fence. On one side, on one part of them wants to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm doing this, this, and this. But they just want to come listen to what you got to say on Sunday and go home. They're not worried about coming back. They don't even get into their Bible. They don't read the scriptures. And then when you tell them something, they busy trying to look it up and find out because it's something new to them. Just like sometimes in the military, they say, fake it until you can make it. You can't fake this. You can't fake anything about God. You can't fake anything about Jesus Christ. You can't fake anything about the Holy Spirit. Either you are or you aren't. Either you know or you don't know, as I used to hear people say when I was coming up.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. Amen. So the thing that seems to be important here is the, as Brother Eric was focusing on, is it's the truth that the that it refers to in that text when it says that when the Helper comes, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So those of us who study, and those who are listening, and those who are striving to seek the truth, once we gain that truth, you can't hold it. You have to share it. You have to tell people about what God has done for you. And
Amen.
Once you've done that, because of your relationship, we talk about this every week. It's that relationship that you have with God. And Jeremiah says it's like
fire.
I think that was Ezekiel. Which one was it? Ezekiel? Like fire shut up in my bones. Which prophet was that?
I believe it.
Brother Eric.
I believe it was Ezekiel.
So, like fire shut up in my bones, you can't hold it. You have to release that. You got to let it go. You got to share it because it's of value. And I think many times what's more valuable to us is empire, you know, because we'll sit right there in front of the TV and won't move. Until Empire goes off or some television show. And I'm going like, really? That's more important than your soul? So,
to a lot of them it is. Unfortunately, to a lot of them it is. But they'll get it figured out. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Well, the work of the Holy Spirit is about applying the redemption purchased by Christ to us. And this application is manifest in many ways. We see it as He's the agent, the Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration, changes our hearts in the new birth so that we might believe in Jesus. Who's got John 3:1-8? John 3:1-8. Could somebody read that? Whoever was asked.
This is Britt. I got it. Okay, John 3:1-8. Now there was a Pharisee, a man called Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? He was asked. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Jesus answers, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it, Sam, but you can't tell from where it comes or where it's going.
Amen.
So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That was from the New International Version.
Amen.
John 3:1-8. So how many can testify about the Holy Spirit changing our heart? Anybody got a testimony? Nobody got testimony about.
Yeah, actually, this is Eric. I do. I've carried this for a while. I had a high school coach that really, really screwed me over. I mean, really. And I mean, just horrible, horrible. And I literally hated him. Literally. I told him one day that I was going to kick his behind if he said another word to me. And I meant it too. I was very, very angry at some of the stuff that he did. And I carried that. I bet I carried that all through college, got out of college and started working. And when I began to truly study my Bible and began to ask the Lord to change me and to work with me and to use me, I began to let that go until I got to the point to where I just didn't even think about it anymore. And I happened to be home visiting and ran into him and, you know, talked to him and finally said, you know, I forgive you for a long time. I really wanted to do something mean to you. I said, but it's all good. The Lord worked it out. And that was only a direct result of me willingly letting the Lord use me and the Spirit guide and direct me to change my heart, because I wanted to hurt that man.
Amen. Amen. So the Holy Spirit then came alongside of you and walked with you and taught you and changed your heart so that you would have not only a new birth in Jesus, but through your new birth in Jesus, you had new birth in all kind of areas of your life.
That's very
and
true.
This is James, and I guess I'd like to share that. You know, when I gave my life to Christ when I was 15, but I really committed my life to Christ when I was 30. And I don't know, that may seem strange to some people, but I had a deeper commitment when I was 30. And my life changed. After a divorce, after many things that happened in my life. And I am still growing in the Spirit and still changing. And I guess I wanted our listeners to understand that this is not a once in a lifetime change and all of a sudden everything is different. It's a growth process, and it's a walk that you'll have all of your life. And even now I see things about me that are changing. And
all right, now.
And it's for the betterment, but we go through these, you know. Paul said, "I have not yet attained," and Paul also says, "When I would do good, evil is always present." So we have these battles going on in us, but experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us through those battles, and helps us to grow. And you know, in 30 years, when I was 30 years old, that was a long time ago, but I'm still growing and still experiencing change and I think for the betterment because of the Holy Spirit being in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Dr. Nix, even though the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and I'm thinking about me too in my life concerning sin and the shortcomings and righteousness, revealing the darkness of our hearts or the places where we need to change and have restoration and renewing. But he points us to that place that we need to be in forgiveness in Christ. And I don't know about you all, but I remember that this is not too long ago where I knew that, you know, oh, I've grown. But let me tell you, God will, when you think you've grown, and I have, but God was still showing me areas in my life where it's like, wait a minute, I see a dark spot over here. You know, you think, well, God really handled that really well. Then all of a sudden, then the God showed you something else, and you're going like, dang, I thought I had that taken care of. But God is still revealing the darkness in our hearts that we don't see in those sacred places, those little corners that have been hidden from us or that we pushed down, so that we can still grow, that we can still seek God's forgiveness in Christ. The Holy Spirit is still working in us. So if we can read 16:7-11, that's an affirmation of what's going on. John 16:7-11 again, showing us those things. Who has John 16?
Yep. I don't think you'd assign that one. I have 1 Corinthians, but I can get John 16.
I've got John 16.
Okay, go ahead. 7 through 11, then Dr. Nook, you can come after that in a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brother Eric.
John 16:7-11 in the New Living Translation. But it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. If I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the prince of this world has already been judged.
Mm. Well, and so those of us who think we've arrived because we are human, there is still sinful nature that God is going to continue to change and transform until we leave this place. There will always be some areas of growth that we can find, or that God will show us, that the Holy Spirit will make clear. That's the whole point in him coming back. And the Holy Spirit coming back to walk with us, to talk with us, to teach us, to get us ready for that time when we are going to spend eternity with God. I celebrate
Amen.
That. You know, now it doesn't mean it's going to be easy either, because when we see stuff, it don't feel good all the time. You know, it's not like, ooh, I got a candy bar, and the Lord is showing you some darkness in your life. That is shameful, and it hurts sometimes to think that the Lord that we say we love and we're in relationship with, we find that we've been lying to ourselves. Can you monitor your speaker or something? There's a lot of distraction that's going, as people are moving stuff. So, but Dr. Nix, go ahead.
I was just going to say that we are corrected by God and convicted, and the Holy Spirit teaches us, but it's a teaching in love. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand, that you've experienced the love of God in the midst of feeling the correction of God.
Amen.
And it's tolerable that you receive it from God. God says, you know, in his word, those whom he loves, he chastens. So but you feel the chastening from one that loves you. It's like your parents correcting you. God is chastening us, but we can receive it because we know that God's not trying to hurt us. And it's a different feeling when you know that somebody's trying to hurt you by what they do, as opposed to somebody that loves you and is just trying to make you better. So that's the kind of love that we get from God. That's the kind of correction that we get. That's the kind of experience that we have through the Holy Spirit. It's a correction in love, even though it hurts. But it's still understanding that God loves us, and that's more tolerable.
Amen.
Than what we get from the world.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hello, so, there, and that's
you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to draw this out. I mean, we don't need to belabor it, but I think it's worth repeating. In this scripture, it says, "But it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. If I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince or convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness in the coming judgment." And this is people need to try to understand this. And number nine, the world's sin, small s, is unbelief in me.
All right.
And then 10 says, righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more in this place.
Amen.
So the world's sin is unbelief in Christ. And then our daily struggles and sins are the darkness that we've been talking about in our own lives that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us if we are authentic in our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This,
and
this is
what I always remember when you say that, quickly, Brother Brad, I'm going to let you go. But you remember when Jesus was, the man had gone to Jesus and he talked to him, he said, you know, if you can help me, I sure would like it, but your disciples couldn't do anything, you know, couldn't cast the demon out of my son. And he said, if.
Yeah.
And he says, if you would help me in my unbelief. So there
right.
are times when we need to understand that we think we may have obtained the mustard seed faith, the tree faith, not the tiny seed faith. We've already excelled beyond that. But there are times in our lives, each of us has that area that the enemy knows best and focuses on. He's not going to focus on the areas that you do well, because you got that covered. That's not going to be a challenge. But he's going to find an area in your life that you're challenged with. And that becomes the place where you experience some challenges of unbelief. But the way to handle that
Amen.
Is, Lord, help me in my unbelief, and continue to walk in it and walk in the areas of faith that you have, and ask God to help you in the areas where you don't, and acknowledge them. Don't run from them. Be like David. Deal with it straight up. And then in that way, your growth is sure. But go ahead, Brother Brad.
Well, excuse me. I think it was Eric that stopped. But to me, 12 and 13 really says a lot. And one of the things is when people say they continue to grow, like you said, you found that you had some dark spots and stuff. And that's because we have been told that there's a lot of mysteries that we will not live long enough to even know all of it. But 12 and 13 here kind of makes it very clear. It says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. That's like your parents telling you, you know, when you get grown, then I'll tell you more. Okay? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So that's saying there's a lot more for us to experience. And we'll live all of our lives and still not know everything. But that's the way the Spirit works. Because once you start on this journey, it's like some people have to continue to go back to school, like teachers do, to get caught up on the newest teaching aids and stuff. Doctors, lawyers all have to go back and brush up on new techniques, or have to go and spend time to learn how to do a new surgical procedure, or to learn about this medication, how it's going to work with everything else. So we are constantly going to continue to be taught. And there are areas that you can't go into yet because your spirit's not right. See, we talked about this when we first started Bible study a long time ago. Everybody is not walking or on the same lap as if you were in the Olympics. There are some people just starting. There are some people halfway through. There are some people getting close to the finish line, but are they going to make it? And the thing is, as long as you continue to walk in the faith, as long as you continue to strive and be the best that you can, the best Christian that you can, the best family man, the best church steward, whether you be a deacon or an elder, or you serve on the worship board, sing in the choir, or you just sit in the pew on Sunday, you're going to continue to learn something every time you hear the Word of God. That's all I got to say.
Amen. So the Spirit illumines the Word of God to bring us to the faith and encourage us, and as you were saying, to grow us up, Brett.
Amen.
Absolutely. So 1 Peter from the Message says, 1 Peter 1 and 2, I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing, not one forgotten. God the Father has his eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. Now, that's a celebration if I ever heard one. What does that say to you?
Amen.
What does that say to you all?
Well, to me,
it's
talking about... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brett.
Go ahead. I was just going to say it confirms what I read out in 13 about the Spirit is going to come and guide us. That's all I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to point out about the importance of the sacrifice of Jesus and our relationship to Jesus.
Amen.
And being delivered. Yeah, it's so important. But so many people don't believe in it. Yeah, so many people don't believe
in it.
They really don't.
The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He conforms us more and more to look like who? Jesus. Over the course of, that's what we've been talking about, over the course of our lives. He makes us look more and more like Jesus and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep us what? Obedient through what Jesus has done, on the work Jesus has done on the cross. You know, that's a celebration for me. You know, because it ain't about me.
Amen. Amen.
It's not about anything I've done. It's about what Christ has done for me. And that's where I stand on, what I depend on. That's the promise that I have, not any work that I might do or failures that I might have. All I got to do is put my trust in the Lord, Jesus.
All right.
So, Brother Eric, what did you get out of that?
Well, I think the one of the other things that works in my life is I know that I'm not alone. Because that's human's biggest issue is being alone.
We
always want to be around somebody. We always want to be loved by somebody. We always want, you know, to have people like us. We always want to be on the good side. This clearly tells me that I'm not alone. I'm never alone no matter what is going on. That the Comforter is there to comfort me, to advise me, to guide me, to shield me, to bring to remembrance the relationship that I have with God, how God loves me in spite of me. I'm never alone. And that is that should be that internal joy that, you know, people talk about it. Happiness is external things. Joy comes from within. And that should be that thing that gives a Christian that joy, is that you are never alone.
Amen.
I was thinking about that song that says, "Never alone, I don't have to worry because I'm never alone." The older one? That's perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
Never alone. Amen, amen. Well, as we look at this understanding of the Holy Spirit and the Comforter, and, you know, as we go through things, God uses trials to sanctify us, to bring us closer to the Lord. We learn that in James, and we always understand, you know, as Dr. Nix was reading, the role of the Holy Spirit is major in our lives. And, you know, I was talking to Dr. Nix earlier today, and I was telling him how we have to be more intentional about recognizing the roles of the different Godheads, the personhoods of God, and giving them credit for that which they do. It's not a Jesus thing all alone, but it's the Trinity and the manifestation of that. Because I think to not bring that forward, it hinders people's understanding, and especially with their understanding of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit has done such a wonderful work and is just empowering. So we said that the Paraclete is that which can be summoned but come to our aid. And the thing about the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God is God does not make us do anything. We are not made. No. This is a relationship that you choose to participate in. This is a relationship. So that means God's not going to force you to decide to do Bible study. It comes out of the love that you have for God. You know, the love that you have for that relationship that you seek and you want to grow. You know, nobody has to send you a text saying, you know, come to Bible study. You're going to do it anyway because that's where your heart is. Nobody's going to tell you to pick up your Bible and do your daily devotion because you have a commitment. Brother Eric will tell you every day he gets up an hour early just so he can spend time with God daily. Nobody has to make him do that, or to twist his arm, or to make him do those things. That comes out of his relationship. And I think that relationship with the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing us, drawing us closer to God, you know, that's the sacred part of what we've been promised. And to me, it's one of the most pleasing parts of the relationship, is that we know that we can depend on everything that God has said. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's close to time to close, but I wanted to ask the question, while you all are here, what is the one thing, you know, that we we know. We've talked about the paraclete as a helper. We've talked about how older translations see him as a comforter. But the Holy Spirit is there. Jesus is there as a comforter. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the modern-day attorney, the one that comes alongside of us, helping us when we're in trouble. We have these things, and the Holy Spirit pleads our case to the Father on behalf. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, the attorney, I think it was the word that Dr. Nooks used, that comes alongside of us and gives us strength and courage when we have to stand amidst hostility and persecution. And I know everybody in here has been through something. I know some of us have gone through challenges and hard times. Who do you think has been your advocate? Who do you think has given you the courage and the strength to endure? Who do you think? Or did you think about it? Or did you think you did it?
Some people think they do it. They do. Seems like God has
sadly mistaken
before we realize. Yeah, seems like before we realize that it's not us, some of us have to be knocked down. Dr. Susie, I did want to point out something to our listeners in that they're going to experience that some people are going to want to have evidence that people have the Holy Spirit in them. And some people seek that evidence by saying that people ought to speak in tongues. Other denominations do not have that requirement. So just wanted them to be clear that people, the different denominations are going to have different things that they're going to want to say as evidence that people have the Holy Spirit. But the most important thing is that we believe in Christ and the Holy Spirit. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So you're going to hear that, those that are listening in. And we just want to make that clear to you now that there are different people that have different understandings of what it takes to show or display that you have the Holy Spirit.
And amen. Thank you, Dr. Right. Nooks. And this is Eric. And I would just add, you will know when the Holy Spirit is residing in you. You don't nobody have to tell you. You'll know.
Amen.
You'll see the change in you. You'll know what's going on. As an old folks say, you got to know that you know that you know. You'll know it.
Amen.
And your grandma said, "Be so clear that what, brother Eric? How to say that a
she said, be so clear that a blind man won't stumble and a fool won't err.
And a fool won't err."
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And the biggest
and so we can
way
trust
that you'll
God.
Know that you'll have that you have it
well,
is the way you
sex.
The way you act and the way you love. The way you love. That's the biggest.
The Bible says we know the way we can tell that we're Christians is by the love that we have for one another. It's by the patience and the empathy that we display when people mistreat us or do us wrong or seek to do ill, and yet there's something that's different. Where at one time we probably would have just automatically popped them and taken care of it ourselves. But it's a
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a different,
absolutely
different way we handle
and you know that old phrase. But you know that old phrase we would use, even though we call ourselves Christian. Let me lay down my religion for a little bit.
But some people, but Brother Eric, some people really believe that they can do that and then lay it down and say, "Oh, I'm still a Christian."
You can't lay that down.
You
can't lay that down and pick it up like it's a coat now.
Well, the other one was after you hit them and you said, "Oh, my religion slipped."
Never heard that one, brother Brett. My religion slipped. Okay. That's a new one. Oops, my religion slipped.
There was a guy that used to come in the barbershop when I was a kid all the time, and he was a deacon of the church, and He said, you know, I was out there tonight, and somebody said something, and I accidentally hit him. That's when my religion slipped. Everybody just fell on the floor. I mean, yeah, right.
Accidentally, huh? Accidentally, huh? So can we all just give one thing that you want to share with our radio audience tonight about the Holy Spirit being comforter or paraclete?
Yeah, this is Eric. I'll start, and I'll start, and it's, you know, what I said just a little while ago, that you're never alone. You're never alone, no matter what's going on, what you're going through, what you're facing, what you're dealing with. You're never alone. Once the Holy Spirit resides, you are never alone, and remember that. You are not in this fight by yourself.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. If you're around, would you close us with prayer? Go ahead, Brother Brett.
Well, one thing I think that everybody that's listening needs to understand. When you have somebody you can turn to, how are you going to be alone? It's very simple. All you got to do is go into prayer. God will be right there. He'll have a comforter that will shield you and protect you and lead you, get you out of the mess that you're in. You just have to believe. You got to allow your faith to work. And when you do that and you give up trying to be in charge of everything, then you'll really understand what it is when the comforter comes and takes care of you.
Amen. Amen.
That's all.
Brother Brian, we see you out there on the line tonight. Is there anything that you could glean from the Bible study tonight you'd like to mention?
Let's see here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
I'm still young in the Word. I'm a baby. I need milk all the time. I'm constantly learning things, and I'm constantly growing. I hear things from various sources, and it's like a puzzle to me, and I'm putting all the puzzles together. And I understand and I feel what everyone is saying about your faith and leaning on Him and everything. And I think that's so true to that, and it is very evident when we are going through some things. I use, I guess, the skyline. You know, you see the sun going down, and that it goes down so far, you don't see it in the morning, there's darkness.
Mm.
Only see so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so amazing mm-hmm. that our sight is gone. He's still there, and He gives us sight. And that's something that I hold on to as my faith. As I said before, I'm still a baby in Christ, and I'm still learning. And each time He feeds me and gives me more sight, I get stronger. And I'm just very appreciative of that, Matt. I guess that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. 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 And so that's encouraging to know that, Brother Brian, as we are growing, that, you know, that it's a process. And that we have goals, and we'll get there. God promised to bring us to perfection. Amen. What He's begun, He'll bring to perfection. Brother Nooks, you have to.
I just wanted our listeners to understand that you don't have to run in and get on your knees or to experience the benefit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in your life all the time. So when you're driving to work, when you're laying in the bed, when you're eating your supper, when you're walking the dog, the Holy Spirit is with you. So I want you to understand that. In every aspect of your life, that you are, and Brother Eric said you're not alone, but you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is present. So it's the Holy Spirit is comforting you, walking beside you, helping you, being your advocate all the time. And it's important to know when folks start messing with you at work, folks start messing with you in the church, the Holy Spirit is with you, helping you. And
Amen.
That's so important for you to know and understand And it ought to give you an uplift in your spirit to know that the Holy Spirit is with you in every situation.
Amen. 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 This is Dr. Susie, and I'm just excited tonight to know that that the Holy Spirit, once we accept Christ as our personal Savior, comes in to reside with us. In the Old Testament, we discovered how the Holy Spirit would come upon someone and abide with them for a while. But today, during the New Testament time, during this time, the Holy Spirit lives in us to do a work in us, to change our hearts, to change our minds, to help us to be changed and transformed, and will continue to be with us to grow us and prepare us so that when we leave this place, that we're ready, that God has matured us to what God wants us to be. We look more like Christ. And that's what I celebrate, and the strength and the courage that goes as we grow in that. And I can tell you, the longer you're on the journey, the more you come to understand. I know stuff today. The old folks used to say, you'll understand it better by and by. It has a totally different meaning to me now than it did when I was in my 20s. Because as you go through your process of growth, the Lord reveals and changes and transforms, and you have an appreciation for things that you never thought you'd understand or would be important to you. So I thank God for that. So, Brother Eric, if you could close us tonight and extend an invitation, appreciate that.
Gracious Father, we come before you. Those of you who are seeking Christ and wanting Christ to come in and rest, rule, and abide with you and guide your lives, if you would pray this prayer. Lord God Almighty, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, your only begotten Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who was crucified on the cross under the orders of Pontius Pilate. He died for me and rose again on the first day of the week. He rose that I might be saved. Lord, if you will come in and take control of my life to lead, guide, and direct me as my Lord and Savior, as I surrender myself to you, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth to Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If you pray that prayer, then Christ has come in and taken control, and you are saved and forgiven for all the sins, and Christ will rest, rule, and abide with you. And now, gracious Father, we ask that as they have done that and those that are listening, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come and take its rightful place, that you would guide and direct us, giving us the strength, the power, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge to live a life according to what you have called us to do, to be that counselor and that spirit of truth in our lives, that we may be able to give truth to the world. We know that the world doesn't want to hear the truth about Jesus, Father. But we who are believers and we have accepted Christ know the truth, and it is for us to tell the world about it. The Spirit came to convict the world and convince the world of its sin, the Scripture says, and we are just a mouthpiece. So strengthen us to do that, Father. May all that we do be pleasing to you and bring honor and glory to your holy name. Strengthen us where we're weak and provide our needs. And help us to seek you in a more perfect way, to love you as you have called us to do. And in loving you, we will love those that are near to us and those that are dear to us and those that are not. For the Scripture says that it is about giving testimony of you to the world, Father. It's not about just in our own homes or on our jobs, but it's the world in general, Father. So let that light shine within us that all may know that we are your service, that we are heirs with Christ, that we are Christians, Christ-like, and we owe it all to you. We will give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done in our lives. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you guys next week as we're dealing with the Holy Spirit as a teacher.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.